All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, I love video game props and memorabilia.
You do.
I do. And you know that we do a show called Bonfireside Chat.
We do.
And you might not know that From Software, the creators of Bloodborne, just released a big vat of eyes you can buy to celebrate the port of Bloodborne that I'm going to irresponsibly start a rumor. The PC port of Bloodborne.
It's been a couple weeks since there was one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. So to celebrate that, they sent me this huge vat of eyes. And the cool thing is that they're all cross-referenced to individual people.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so I mean, did they just literally scoop these eyes out of actual real-ass folks?
I mean, they're real Weta Workshop level eyeballs. So I it's hard to tell.
Okay.
I don't know how to tell.
Okay.
They're starting to stink. but that could just be like advanced tech.
Yeah, they could have just sprayed him with something that stinks. Yeah, some smelly water. Yeah.
So I figured you'd bob for eyes, and whichever one you got, we'd check and see who it belonged to and see if that suggested a game.
Okay. Well, we've done bobbins. We've bobbed not for before. Eyes. No, I wasn't. I wasn't criticizing you. I'm ready for this. Ready for this bad boy. Here we go.
Don't swallow it.
Oh God, Gary, I swallowed so many eyes. Oh no,
man. Come on, dude. Those are expensive.
Sorry.
Weirdly enough.
Let me
pick one out of your teeth here, or what's left of one.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe you burst. It like burst like a row, like a sushi row in your mouth. Like there's a lot of that milk inside your mouth right now, man. A
vitreous jelly. Yeah. Yeah.
OnlyFans/Cole. I came over here with you just like swishing it around. It's fucking disgusting. Let me take this, this half deflated balloon of an eyeball here and see if I can match it up to the guidebook.
Okay.
It's cool. The guidebook is cool. It's like portrayed like an in-universe guidebook. Like something the Healing Church would use.
Oh, cool.
To keep track of their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all in old timey font and stuff.
Yeah.
It looks like this eye belonged to Linus Bruckman.
Who the hell's that?
Nobody knows.
Okay. Oh, wait, the game computer. I swallowed the game computer too. Let me open my mouth.
Let me take a gigantic eyeball dump. Man, you know those dumps you get after you eat a bunch of eyeballs?
We call that a poor men's colonoscopy.
Yeah, no thanks. Anywho.
It's a video game. It's a game.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Welcome to Adverse Suffering, where I'll be having the quail egg tuna tartare, and you'll be having a light salad.
Okay, cool.
New intros, baby.
Oh, yeah. Ah, shit. I didn't call for new intros. Oh, no.
It's okay. I got like 70 of them or something.
Cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So this week we're talking about an indie joke game called What Linus Bruckman Sees When His Eyes Are Closed. I got some follow-up there, Gary. On the opening here before we get into that. So first one, you talked about OnlyFans videos where people swish around milk. What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, my thinking was that if you had eyeball milk in your mouth and were swishing it around, it would look sexy. And you could charge people to watch you swish white stuff around your mouth because it was
semen.
It was semen.
Okay. Yeah. Got you. Yeah. Got you. Okay.
Not necessarily sperm.
Uh-huh.
As I teach.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can just have semen.
Mm-hmm.
Looks the same.
Yeah. As you teach the example that you embody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my main, I am a role model and it's that, semen and sperm are very different and semen without sperm in it is exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes the same. It's the same in every way. It's like fava.
Okay, cool. Second off, did you know that you can just go on Amazon and like buy a journal that looks like it's an old beat up book, like a missed book? Yeah, I didn't realize that. I've been half like ready to pull the trigger, but I've stopped myself because I have a bad habit of buying fancy notebooks that I use one page of and then put away.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I have one, and then I got an exact copy of the same one as a gift.
Oh, wow.
So I've got two old-timey, like, looks like a unique tome of hidden knowledge books.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if I was making a prop for something, that would be an amazing thing to do. But, yeah, I was unaware that was a... And there are a bunch of them. You can cross-reference them. They have different sizes, different bindings and stuff.
Yeah. Different paper qualities and stuff. It's a nice little book. I just don't... You know, I just have it like to have the potential of doing something with it.
Right.
I never will.
Yeah. So what Linus Brukman sees when his eyes are closed? This was demanded by a Patreon backer named Ryan. And I have no idea what's happening here.
Did Ryan say anything about this?
No. No, the only thing in the comments is a link to where you can download this game.
I find this really confusing as a game, and this is well thought of. Like, this is not, Kosogi in a general sense. Like, this won awards and everything. The idea is you're playing a point-and-click adventure, but you're playing two of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You have an MS Paint borrowed art assets sci-fi comedy on the bottom. And you have your mouse cursor moves around there at the same time, moves around in the top pane, which is like an old timey medieval Japan orb plinth zone.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get very far in it. What that seems clever to me, you move the same cursor around. The thing that makes it not clever is that I don't understand at all what is happening in the top panel.
No,
because it's not written in English, and it's not a situation that I understand. It's a guy standing around a bunch of plinths with orbs.
Yes, and it is written in Japanese, which is a language that I neither speak nor read.
Yeah, you know, maybe it would make more sense if I did.
Maybe
I don't know how culturally true any of this is.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it just there's an eerie parallel between these two, this like ancient mystical cave and the future fast food place you work at as your little like alien goblin. You work in the beginning and like on every plinth in the past or whatever, there's an orb, and in the future there are pills that you give to drive by aliens who are hungry.
Yeah. And so like the game, like the setup in the future fast food thing is like your dad has squandered all of your family's money on online poker. And so he's bought this, franchise, everybody's quit, and you have to like match up the food pills with the correct order. But you can only see the menu by going and like talking to your dad, to see the ingredients, and each of the pills has ingredients that correspond to somebody's order. And you have to make sure that the right people get the right thing. There's comedy and like fun writing and goofiness on the bottom pane. My favorite line is like, because when you leave a conversation with your dad at one point, the son says, hey, don't lose any more of our money. And the dad says, oh, don't worry, I've switched to solitaire instead of playing poker. Mm-hmm. And the kid says, oh, well, at least you can't lose money saying that. And the dad says, you don't know how bad I am at solitaire.
Yeah. That is a good joke to be bad enough at solitaire to lose money.
Yes, I enjoyed that. Yes,
that's cute.
But
there's like a Borg comes up.
Yeah,
like one of those space pigs from Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get very far in it because I a little crunch for time and a little bit irritated.
Yeah,
the top panel effectively not mattering for at least the beginning of this game, like at all.
Yeah. This is a short game. You're kind of meant to kind of input the solution by going to each of these little plinths and making sure that the right pill goes on the correct ones. Apparently there are like multiple endings. Linus Brukman, I thought that was the name of the guy who invented Linux, but that's not the case. That's just another person with the improbable name of Linus. Now Linus Brukman is just a character who is hallucinating all of this from the inside of a padded cell. Is the thing. So this is what Linus Brukman is seeing when his eyes are closed, is this improbable dual adventure game.
Yeah.
I mean, Linus Brekman was a person. It's kind of like when we did Wade Hickston's Power Punch, and I thought that Wade Hickston was just going to end up being like a real ass guy, like Riddick Bowe. No, just a character. Just a character.
It would make a lot of sense if he was.
It would. It makes sense to name a product after a real person. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to do a very specific name like that.
Yeah.
With this, I don't. It's got big like Ludum Dare, like, you know, trifle energy to me.
Yeah.
Of like clever idea, but the execution, you know, never really developed into something with further execution and like a lack of, you know, polish. Like, I'm not super polish driven, but I'm polish driven enough to where, like, you know, I care a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
To where it made it hard for me to get into.
Well, I mean, also, like, you know, clicking on the individual, like, panels and hearing the orders and talking to the people, that's fun. But, like, the actual puzzle that you're solving where you just have to, like, take a screenshot of the menu and then read the ingredients and make sure the right thing matches up with the right person, that's not necessarily very fun to me.
No. Yeah. There's not, like, a whole lot to it.
Yeah.
The person who made this is named Vince 12.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done other games.
Yeah.
That are kind of similar, you know, just like gimmicky or kind of things. Like,
yeah.
They kind of have, like, you know, they're for game jams and stuff. It looks like the most, you know, polished game they've done is a game called Resonance.
I mean, that's like a straight up, that's a Wadget Eye published, like, classic adventure game. I think
Adventure Game Studio.
Yeah. I think that's their, that's like their day job is they work for Wadget Eye.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, it had. I didn't know whether this was Wadget Eye, but it has huge Wadget Eye energy to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really played those. Will's a big fan
mm-hmm.
of those, but I have not.
I've only messed around with a couple of those. You know, like, I know that they're like whole series and stuff like that. The one that I've played the most of was a Wadget Eye published, not developed one that is actually really cool. I would recommend everybody play it. You would like it, Gary. It's called Strangeland. It's like a it's taking cues from Sanitarium, Planescape Torment, and Darkseed, and I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream, like that kind of thing.
Cool.
It's also like short. It's a very short investment. It's short and it is visually striking. It's a good horror adventure game. But yeah,
mm-hmm. No,
Strangeland.
I like that this guy gets to kind of do his own stuff on the side
mm-hmm.
while having a day job. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think the game was super fun.
Yeah.
And wasn't like in the headspace for it.
Yeah.
Like something that came up recently for me that was kind of interesting was that I found out on Steam there's a hide this game function. Like, you can't remove something from your library, but you can make it not show up.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of things we've done just for like shows and stuff that I don't really feel like digging through.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of organize based on, you know, you periodically end up going into a panic about all the games you own and haven't played.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
no, I recently went through one of those and I categorize stuff by like, you know, genre, but also, you know, just extremely interested and then just interested and then being honest with myself and putting it under ZZZ_not interested so that it doesn't show up. Maybe I should just hide those. I'm not sure. And I also did that while saying, I'd like to stream this. I made categories for if I'm looking for something to stream, this would be then, you know, just an easy list to pull from. But yeah, I'm familiar with those panics.
Yes. I was going through one of those panics. And the thing that was interesting about it is that, you know, I basically stopped buying stuff on Steam
mm-hmm.
unless I immediately want to play it.
Yes.
You know, I no longer just pick up things unless I think we're going to cover it for a show.
Yeah.
I don't just pick up things because it's cheap and looks kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the way of things for in the early 2010s for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see like a lot of ways that my gaming taste have changed.
Yeah.
Because in 2012, when this came out, this 100% or this came out in 2007.
The 2006, like this won the 2006 AGS Awards.
Yeah. I was thinking of... Resonance came out in 2012
yeah
or 2011 but if I had seen this when it came out, this is exactly the kind of thing I would have bought for 99 cents
mm-hmm.
and would have put in the hidden section here in 2021.
Yeah
like I had so many games that are like basically like this, like mixed review, you know, kind of looks interesting in screenshot but looks janky in animation
mm-hmm.
stuff. And I was just like, ah, you know, this is 99 cents. I'm never going to get back. And I have to choose not to care about that. You know, not interested.
Mm-hmm. Sunk cost. Like you just have to be, honest with myself. I mean, like that happens to me anytime. Cause you know, like I've been going through closets because I've been shifting rooms around and that's been a bit of a slow process. But like anytime you go through a bunch of your old stuff, you end up finding like half formed versions, either of somebody you used to be, or like even more heartbreaking, somebody you thought you could have been at one time, you know, sure. Just like, oh, here's a bike helmet that I had back when I thought I was going to be a person who rode a bike.
I end up not finding those like super heartbreaking, but I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Like it's very relatable to me, but I don't judge myself for it.
Yeah.
Cause you know, it's very easy for me to apply. Like I did other stuff instead to that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like I didn't get into a bike or I didn't get into like whatever this little plan was. I just did other stuff instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and time kept moving and I lived life and I, you know, had some smiles and some orgasms and ate some good food and had happiness and sadness and all those things still happened. Whether I became that kind of person or not, you know?
Yeah. It would be one thing, but then like, just like, oh, I've kept this around and it's been with me through all these moves. It's more just, you know, kind of like, I've got too much shit on me. Like that kind of feeling.
Yeah. I'll get mad at myself for keeping it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never get mad at myself for not turning into a different kind of person, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of done with that, you know? It used to be like I'm falling out of love with self-loathing.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Self-acceptance is the way it is, baby.
Yeah. It's great.
Where it's at.
You know, I can spend a lot of time talking shit about myself, or I can watch Simpsons reruns and eat marshmallows plain and just accept that about myself.
Marshmallows plain as opposed to what? Saucing them up?
Yeah, like, you know, al dente, al gratin.
Yeah. You know? Making a soup.
Mallow loaf. Yeah. You know, but no, I'll just sit there and house some marshmallows.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, marshmallows are good. I like the taste of marshmallows. I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah.
I eat like 4 or 5 marshmallows, sit down and watch The Simpsons, drink a soda, and just like, that's fine. I did that instead of getting into ham radio or riding a bike or any of those other things.
Any of those other things that are hard. I like easy things. Yeah.
Well, I do tons of stuff that's hard. I'm full up on hard stuff. Yeah. I think that the urge to constantly be like, what if I'm this kind of guy, comes from people not accepting that the kind of person they are now is taking up bandwidth because they got used to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think about it all the time with the network where I'm like, oh man, it'd be cool to do a show about this. I'm like, fuck you, Gary. Like, it takes up a lot of your time and energy to do what you do now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give you that dopamine of new project, but like, stop beating yourself up. Your maintenance is work. You idiot.
Yeah.
You colossal fucking fool. I accept you. Yeah. Piece of shit.
Something. you're sending yourself real mixed messages here.
Well, I like to keep myself on my toes.
Yeah. But just the longer ago you decided to do something impacts how much work it is. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, there we go.
it's just the truth. It doesn't matter how much work you're actually doing. If you made that decision a long time ago, then it's worthless and you have to do new stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not constantly changing.
Obviously, I'm
being facetious. It's a weird thing specifically for us, like in a creative space, because we make our livings from this, you know. And there's still that urge, though, like I should be hustling.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, I mean, not really. You know, why, instead of doing that, what if I took a weekend? You know, what if I took like an evening instead of trying to do that hustling? Because, you know, everything's actually okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the kind of stuff I've been doing in my head as I approach the big 4-1.
What if the big 4-1? That's the wall, man.
Yeah, that's I'm feeling it.
That's the wall. I can't remember the last time I just straight up ate a marshmallow.
Dude, they've gotten better.
Have they?
That's not true. No. It's two marshmallows. Even though I did discover a new way that I like to eat them.
Okay. I mean,
I've been having this series of heat waves. I put it in the fridge so it wouldn't melt. It would all melt together.
Right.
They're good in the fridge.
Ooh. Most people go the other direction. Yeah.
Yeah. They want like a melty marshmallow. Not me. I want like a toothsome marshmallow that you really sink your teeth into.
Yeah, yeah. Are these like big marshmallows? Like
I've done both, baby. I've done little cocoa marshmallows, and I've done the big boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me a slice.
You know the sight gag in The Simpsons where Bart sits down for some hot chocolate? And
yeah,
he puts,
give me a slice.
Yeah, he puts the marshmallow in it and absorbs all of the hot chocolate, and he pulls it out and slices off. And yeah, mm-hmm. I want a slice of that. I want that to happen. Like that looks really good.
Cocoa marshmallow?
Yeah.
I guess the thing. Marshmallow is not a neutral flavor. People think of it as, but it's the same like thing people get into with like vanilla.
Yeah.
Like vanilla is unflavored. Mm-hmm. Marshmallows have a flavor. It's made from a plant.
I mean, no, it's made out of gelatin. It is made to resemble a product from a plant.
Yeah, it's made to resemble a product from a plant. So,
yeah,
I don't want to hear about how marshmallows are plain or boring ever again. There's also, you live in a place like Portland, Oregon, you get the artisanal marshmallows that they sell at places sometimes.
What?
Remember an artisanal marshmallow?
No.
You can like make them from scratch and like flavor them with different things.
Okay.
Totally not worth it.
Like, just give me this dog shit.
Jumbo Times Clown Party or whatever the regular ones are.
Like, look, you don't want to get a cheap marshmallow. I had
go off, take a dry.
how much did that cost us? I had a over 4th of July, I had family over and we had a little bonfire out back while we watched the fireworks. My mom had forgotten to buy the marshmallows, and the only like grocery store we have in this food desert that I live in is like just a really bad, like it's like an aisle in a Drug Mart, is what it is. So like somebody had to go in and run. We got cheap marshmallows, and I was like, I'm gonna roast a marshmallow over this fire, and I'm going to eat it. And I got it nice and brown, you know, the way that you like it, get the tough skin on the outside. And as I went to grab it off the end of the fork, the thing just it just fell off. It just morphed down onto and I had to cook a new one. Yeah. And I had to cook it like not to spec. I had to, you know, not actually liquefy the inside or else it would have fallen off again. Cheap marshmallow.
It wasn't tough enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had to get like a lacquer on the outside, like a magic shell or something on the outside that you can hold them together.
Well, I mean, what this made me think of is, why don't we put marshmallows in our coffee?
Ooh, baby. I might have to try that. I have used ice cream instead of cream and sugar before, and it's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you're basically just making yourself a little, affogato? I think it is.
Affogato, like a jamocha.
Yeah, it's an inverted ratio affogato.
Yeah. And man, that shit's good.
Yeah.
Going into the big 4-1, chaos mode.
Chaos mode.
Yeah. I don't care. I don't give a shit about that stuff anymore.
About what?
I'll put marshmallows in coffee. I'll put ice cream in coffee. I'm basically just saying I'm going to put a bunch of garbage in my body.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was also thinking about it in terms of like something I heard somebody say on YouTube.
Okay.
That I kind of resonated with, where they're like, you know, from now on, I'm no longer accepting hypothetical defenses of hypothetical people.
I can see that. Yeah.
You know, like where it's like somebody, you're making up for a story. You're making up a guy, you know, who does something.
Okay.
Or you're telling a funny story about a weirdo in public.
Okay. Know?
And then somebody pops in and says like, what if they X, Y, or Z?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And not necessarily like, you know, I'm not dismissing claims of ableism, right? Like somebody pops in and says, oh, they do that because that's something that happens when you're on the autism spectrum or something like that.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. Or just, you know, like somebody popping in, pulling a David Foster Wallace. This is water kind of thing. Like you didn't stop to think that they had a really rough day.
I'm no longer doing that in like comedy stories. I'm no longer accepting those.
Yeah.
Like just having fun, just like talking about something. Like I'm not going to be mean to people, but if somebody's a real weirdo out in the world and like I want to like own that story of them being a weirdo, I'm just going to take it.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. No longer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, anything goes in coffee.
Anything.
I'm going to put some vanilla Coke Zero in my coffee next time I make it.
Mm-hmm. Just a little spoonful of mayo. Just put that in there. You're fine.
Keep the doctor away.
I mean, some screws, some washers, some nuts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, edible ones like cashews.
Okay. Almonds. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. you know. But it, you know, I don't want to eat non-food.
Mm.
I just want to eat food, but I want to do it in wild new combinations.
Wild new So what it sounds like, what it sounds like you're brushing up against is a little bit, I want you to be aware, okay, from mm-hmm. the outside, without the context, especially for the specifics of what you plan to do. Like, it sounds like you're describing an American Beauty midlife crisis a little bit to me.
Sure.
You know?
Well, there are a couple underage girls I'm looking to...
Yeah,
I'm not really. I just weird undercurrent of American Beauty.
Well, yes.
That you always forget about is like the entire plot is predicated on him wanting to fuck his daughter's friend.
Yeah, and he doesn't, and that's admirable.
I don't know.
I mean, that's basically the equivalent of like walking up behind somebody and like grabbing onto their shoulder and giving them a little push and saying, "Oh, I saved you." Because I didn't push you. Yeah. Except with statutory rape.
You know how Kevin Spacey did all those real sex crime things?
Oh, like real stuff. And then
released those videos as Frank Underwood?
Yes. Like
defending himself?
Yeah.
What if he did it as the character from American Beauty instead?
Oh, no.
It'd be a little less funny because the Frank Underwood ones are very funny to me.
I mean,
like
it's
he got caught and he's just like, well, there's been a lot of hubble up about a lot of sex crimes, but I tell you, freedom of speech.
I couldn't watch it, just like with any of those guys, it kind of casts a pall on. I just don't want to see you. I don't want to look at you because of the new information that has come to light.
Yeah.
You know,
he's repulsive. I'm not excusing him. I'm not saying like, oh, no. It's a hoot.
There was a desperation coming off of those. I normally don't call things cringe or whatever, but I will say like, I got like 30 seconds into the first one and I cringed so hard that my eyelids fused together and I had to go to a very specific surgeon to get them cut open again.
There's no other word for them other than like exceedingly cringy. They're just weird that they happened in real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like the opposite of what you should do.
Yeah.
And if he did them as Lester Burnham, that'd also be really weird. Like, like on a set with wings and a halo.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or just the tombstone of Lester Burnham mm-hmm. with his voice over it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got killed by a Nazi. Oh, well.
Yep.
You know,
it's like I got killed by a Nazi, but you know, what's really being killed by Nazis? Freedom of speech.
Yeah. Well, you know? Also it's fucking disgusting that like, you know, people said like, you totally did really untoward stuff with underage people who didn't want to do that with you. And he said, and he tried to diffuse it. Like he tried to like throw it out by coming out of the closet. It's kind of like,
yeah, that fucking,
yeah.
If I were a gay man, I'd be furious.
Fucking
about that.
Vile.
Like way to set us back.
Yeah.
You know, like that this is the opposite of what we're trying to teach people about gay people.
Right.
Fucking prick.
But like, just be aware that like, as you're talking about this, you know, it could sound a little bit like a midlife crisis, but I understand what you're saying. It's a little bit like getting into it, deciding I'm going to be in my 20s again, a little bit in certain ways. Like it's almost like when you describe it, like, fuck it, chaos mode. Fuck it, chaos mode is what makes you drink a shower beer, right?
Except for me, it's just going to be marshmallows and coffee.
Yes. Yeah. But like you can also do like the harmless stuff from American Beauty, such as lifting weights in your garage while you're smoking weed. That's cool.
That's pretty cool. Actually.
That's pretty cool. It's one of the coolest things you can do. Yeah.
I think it's exceedingly cool.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, I can't do that because I no longer have a garage.
Right. But you can approximate it. Like you can smoke weed and lift weights, you know. Yeah. In lots of different ways.
That's true.
Yeah.
No. pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
I wish I had more to say about this game.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, it gets into like this is made to be like a comedy anti-game. So, you know, making fun of it would be like making fun of a clown, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just hard.
Yeah.
And also there's not like an awful lot to make fun of.
No.
Yeah.
No. It just ended up feeling misguided to me.
Yeah.
You know, a fine idea.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably a good version of this somewhere.
Yeah. And also it's short and doesn't demand a lot of you. If I was in a different headspace when I played this, or if I played it like back around the time, you know, before I had really seen an awful lot like this, probably would have made a big impression, you know?
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
You know what is also part of my chaos mode?
What is part of your chaos mode?
It's not really chaos mode, but I walk back from band practice now, because I live a half hour away from Andrew, and it's a sketchier zone.
Okay.
I walk through. So I bought some pepper spray.
Okay.
In case I got mugged or something. And it, so far, even like, I'm not going to be somebody who ever owns a weapon, you know, like a real weapon.
It's okay.
Not me.
Yep.
But even having this is very nervous, and I keep thinking it's going to explode my face.
Well, I mean, you don't want to make the classic blunder of going to spray somebody and the nozzle's pointed backward and you blind yourself.
I feel like that is inevitable.
Yeah. Do you just want to get it out of the way? Like, do like they do with COs? Well, no, just mace yourself. So you rip the bandaid off. Yeah.
I should probably do that.
No, please don't do that, Gary.
Okay. Can we split the difference? I'll put some in my coffee.
Sure. Okay. just one squirt in your south of the border.
It's real weird carrying around this thing, and it has made me like more paranoid but less scared walking through this, because no, it's like,
that makes sense. Yeah,
people will like straight up follow you for a few blocks, and it's a weird feeling.
Mm. yeah
you know, and I recognize that I don't have as much to you know, to lose.
Yeah.
As anybody, you know, I get you.
But you carry a wallet. Like, it would still be, yeah. You know, getting mugged would make that one of the worst days. It would be bottom in the bottom 10 percentile, right?
Yeah. I would really prefer not to get mugged.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand the fake person who would, would try to make you feel like it would be a big deal if you got
mind.
Yeah. I don't care if you get eaten by a gator.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care if Gary Butterfield gets mugged. It's that time, you know, that they lost a couple points on their side.
Jesus Christ,
you know. So this is me planting future stories for future episodes where, okay, I talk about marshmallow coffee and macing myself.
Okay. Yeah.
You know. So. Yeah.
Nice.
Look forward to that, everybody.
Also, I mean, just like you get the you accidentally spray upwind of yourself.
Sure.
And you know, you just get that. There's lots of ways that this could go really, really wrong for you, and I think that we're all here for it.
I was thinking that if I were a militia guy, I would tie a bunch of these things to M80s and then have like cool tear gas grenades.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. They can just get real ones.
Like, you know, if there's become nothing, a militia guy,
there's nothing stopping them from getting real ones, you know, because the police aren't going to stop them. So it's fine. The police will just get like hand it over to them. No, the police will tear gas grenade them for you if you're a militia guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You just point who you want to have tear gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'll do it. Fuckers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh man.
Cool zone.
Cool zone. We got anything else?
No, there's no like game facts on this. And
there is, but it's not good.
Yeah.
You know, there's a message board, but it's not.
Yeah. Just, you know, nothing revelatory.
Can I, since it's been a real miscellaneous episode, can I end this with giving you and our listeners a heads up?
Sure.
The very good A24 film, The Green Knight.
Mm-hmm.
I just got an email from it and just bought it. A24 made a Green Knight role-playing game box collectible.
Oh, cool.
That has character sheets and class sheets and like a D20 and stuff, which is exactly my shit, for that movie owned.
Okay.
I think you'd really like it.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for it to come to streaming just cause it's dangerous here.
Yeah. It streamed for one night only. Like you could watch it on A24's, network or whatever. Did like a virtual event for it. It's hella good, and this is the kind of collectible that they have that like sells out basically right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had like Midsummer fingerboards, and they had like a bear, like a little bear in a cage and shit. Did all kinds of cute shit, but sells out all the time. So if you're listening to this and you like The Green Knight, I bet you this thing goes away.
Okay. Yeah. So, heads up, maybe by the time this is published we are just rubbing it in that you didn't get one in time.
Yep. Also, maybe it'll come to VOD.
Yeah, maybe. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to talk about it on something. I don't know what it would, but we could just do it. I think we could really arguably make a bonfireside chat about it.
Yeah.
Because it's got huge souls energy.
Yeah.
So,
we'll see. Can I give you a heads up, Gary? Monster Trans on Switch, baby.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I just
I'm just going to start that over again and build up all my clans again.
Yeah. So I just wanted to give you that heads up because I
you know what else is on Switch.
What else?
Oh, sorry, please continue.
I just literally brought that up because it was in a tab that came up after I closed the window with another related thing. Yeah, continue. What else?
Speaking of double dipping, I went out and bought a copy of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 for Switch as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Because I want to play those on the go.
Oh, yeah. And by on the go, I mean in bed. I mean as not on the go as I could possibly be, actually.
I'm on the go. They should do Switch commercials where it's just fat men lying in bed without their shirts on. Like, you know, compulsively playing Darkest Dungeon, stoned out of their gourds until they pass out. Like, with the same kind of, like, cool music.
Uh-huh. You know?
Or just include me, like the Laser Spine Specialist commercial, like have all the cool rooftop 20-something. Yep. And then just cut over to me, like literally oozing out of my bed,
yep,
full of coffee and marshmallows, just like... bleh, bleh, bleh.
Just surrounded by gummy wrappers.
Yeah. Like the dad in Tiny Puppets during the Christmas one where he's like, where's the tree? I want to see the tree. That's me.
Just a horror reveal. Like, you know, every horror movie where just like they close the medicine cabinet and the mirror reveals that somebody's standing behind. Just like, you know, we see, like, you know, it's just on the Switch, you know, and it's playing a cool game, but then it gets to like a fully black loading screen and it shows the horrible reflection, that awful angle. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, it's just all, God, it's just incredible. All chin and booger nostrils. Yeah.
Nothing makes me feel like a more disgusting piece of shit than that angle.
Oh, it's great. Okay. I just feel like Kramer, look away. I'm hideous. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is, I'm no longer going to do this. I should be out working out right now.
You know, ridiculous. Get me a joint. Get me a garage. Yep. Get me a bench press.
Yeah. Why does my daughter not have so many hot friends? I'm not motivated.
Fuck.
Anywho.
Anyway.
Thank you for requesting this weird game.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan.
I'm glad to know about it.
Yeah. Thank you everybody for listening. If you would like to request a game, go to patreon.com/DougPTV. And even if you can't back at that level, you can back and get bonus episodes of this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd appreciate it. Ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict are also very useful to us. And what should they do until next time?
Until next time, look away from the Switch when the loading screen comes on.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.